As we had been discussing in our previous shiurim, the Gemara says, "Dvar Torah midaraisa, rubo makbil of chaytzitz, only a chatzitza, which covers roiv, roiv of the body, roiv of the hair, as we discussed in the previous shiur, or makbil of, and the person is particular about it, that is considered chatzitza. V'she'en a makbil of, otherwise ain a chaytzitz, it's not considered a chatzitza." So the Rishonim asked the obvious question. We all know that the halacha is that if somebody has to go to the mikvah, and even the smallest amount, or even the smallest part of his body is not immersed in the mikvah, it's not considered a valid tefillah. And therefore they ask, how come when it comes to chatzitza, does the Torah only say when it's a rubai hamakbid, it's going to disqualify the tefillah, otherwise it would not disqualify the tefillah. So Rashi explains that if it's a situation that the person is not makbid on this chatzitza on his body, so then the part that he's not makbid on becomes and is considered as if it's part of his body. And therefore, and like Rashi says in Masechta Sukkah, on Davav Amabeis, Divrei HaMaskel Ein, that since he doesn't intend to remove this from his body, then it becomes part of his body. So it's not that it's a chatzitza that doesn't bother us. It's not a chatzitza because it's going to remain there forever. And what, and the reason, a miut hamakbid, even though he's makbid on it, is not considered a chatzitza. So again, Rashi will stick to his opinion, says the Sidrei Tahara, and Yoridei is Simen Kuf Tzadiches Sif Katan Aleph, because since it's a miut, even though he's makbar on it, it becomes again part of his body. So Rashi is consistent in his opinion, as the Echroinim explain Rashi's opinion, that whether it's a roiv she'ena makbid or a miut ha-makbid, both of those situations are situations the midaraisa are considered part of his body. However, there are other Rishonim that explain that the reason a miut hamakbid is not a chatzitza is because we have a rule throughout the Torah of rubah kekulai. And therefore, since most of his body is being in the is not covered with a chatzitza, even though part of his body does have a chatzitza that he's makbid on, it's not considered enough of a chatzitza because of the concept of rubah kekulah. And Rabbi Chanan explains that the reason a chatzitza is a problem is not because the water hasn't touched the body. Rather, because if that were the lesson of chatzitza, says Rabbi Chanan, then we would have then we don't have to speak about chatzitza. If the Torah is demanding that the entire body be immersed in the mikvah, and if you have a chatzitza, obviously that part of the body is not in the mikvah, so that has nothing. That's not a new halach of chatzitza that our Gemara is introducing. And furthermore, explains Rabbi Chanan, if that is indeed the situation of a chatzitza, that the halacha does recognize the existence of the chatzitza, so then why indeed is a miut hamakbid not a problem? Says Rabbi Chanan, what we learn from this is that even when you have a chatzitza, but if it's not considered a disqualifying chatzitza, it doesn't affect the tefillah. A chatzitza is not the same as part of the body not being in the mikvah. Part of the body not being in the mikvah is not a tefillah. A person that goes completely in the mikvah, the Torah says, is not an issue. That he immersed himself. Now, if there's a chatzitza, that disqualifies the tefillah. And he goes back to explain. That goes back to machlokes that we learned between Rashi and the Rambam yesterday, how we look at the hair. And the Rambam said that we needed the pasuk just to teach us that hair has also a din of that here also requires tefillah. And the question is, Rashi, we explain, says that's obvious, and that the pasuk has come to teach us the din of chatzitza by hair. But according to the Rambam, why would I need a pasuk, asked Rabbi Chanan, to teach us that if the hair, that the hair doesn't require tefillah? Says Rabbi Chanan, that now that we explained that the halacha of chatzitza applies also by hair, the pasuk is teaching us that the chatzitza of here is indeed teaching us how the tefillah has to take place, and otherwise we would indeed be able to think that a chatzitza is not a problem, because we would think that the inyan of chatzitza is only where the chatzitza tells us it's a problem. Otherwise, a chatzitza would not be considered a problem. What is the nafkamina between these two pshatim? Again, to review the two pshatim, when you have a miyut hamakbid, why is that midaraisa not a problem? Is it because it's rubik akuloi, or it becomes bottled to the body? What would be the halacha if a person has a chatzitza because he closes his mouth or eyes tight? If we're going to say that the vart is that rubik akuloi, so rubik akuloi is only rubik akuloi applies no matter what type of chatzitza we're faced with. But if we're going to say that the issue is because if you have something on your body and you don't care about it, or it's just a small amount, it becomes bottled to the body, Rashi's explanation, maybe that's only by an extraneous item that's on the body, but an extraneous object. But if it's the body itself that's creating the chatzitza, then maybe we couldn't say that fart, and indeed in such a case, it would be considered a chatzitza according to Rashi, not according to other Rishonim. Another nafkamina would be, let's say, and the Shulchan Aruch discusses such a situation, if somebody is holding on to part of my body as I am immersing in the mikvah. If we say the vart of chatzitza is rubik akuloi, so just because he's touching part of my body, it still doesn't affect the concept of rubik akuloi. But if we say the problem is that extraneous objects become bottled to my body, that's only extraneous objects that are on my body, not another person who's holding my body. That not when another person is holding my body. So now we can answer an interesting question. The Chroinim ask a question that the Gemara Masechta Zvachim teaches us that the Kohen, when he's wearing the Big Day Kohuna, he's not allowed to have any chatzitza between his body and his clothing. And there the halacha is that any chatzitza is a problem. So now the question is, if all of Hilchas chatzitza are the same, asked the Achroinim, why over there even the smallest chatzitza is considered a problem, and over here, when it's a mir, it's not a chatzitza, or when it's not makbid, it's not a chatzitza? So it's very geschmack. Now we're explaining that this halacha of chatzitza, and the Rishonim make a very interesting observation. We always think of chatzitza as being a chumrah. Actually, the way we're explaining now, chatzitza, the halacha l'maishim sinai of chatzitza, is actually coming to teach us a kula. That we would think that just like when part of the body is outside the mikveh, it disqualifies the tefillah, so too should any chatzitza disqualify the tefillah. Comes the Torah, comes the halacha l'maishim sinai, say no. That if you have a minimal chatzitza, a mir she'ena makbid, or you have a rubai she'ena makbid, that isn't going to disqualify your tefillah. So the Torah is teaching us a halacha l'maishim sinai that represents a kula, that the chatzitza doesn't disqualify your tefillah. So only by hilchas tefillah with the Torah, as we discussed in our previous shurim, says the pasuk of Verachet, Besara b'mayim. That's where the Torah was mechadish, that you have this kula, that certain chatzitzes don't disqualify your tefillah. Everywhere else, you have this problem of that any chatzitza certainly would represent a disqualification. There's a very famous and interesting question posed by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. He says that as the Gemara just taught us, that midaraisa, it's only chatzitza when it's rubai hamakbid. The Gemara went on to say that midrabbanon, if you have a rubai she'ena makbid or a miyut hamakbid, that is also midrabbanon considered a chatzitza. So he says, bizman hazeh, if you're going to have a chatzitza attached to roiv of one's body, that should disqualify the tefillah midaraisa, even if it's a davar she'ena makbid alav. And he explains why. Once we know that midrabbanan, such a tefillah is, such a chatzitza is a problem, a chatzitza that covers rubai she'ena makbid midrabbanan is a pasul. So, presumably, anybody before he goes to the mikvah wants to take off that, would want to have that amount taken off from his body. Even if he doesn't care, he cares because he doesn't want to have a disqualified tefillah. So in other words, what Rabbi Chanan answer is asking is that every situation where you have a rubai she'ena makbid should not be considered invalid just a chatzitza that's rubai she'ena makbid, should not just be considered invalid midrabbanan. It should be invalid midaraisa. And in fact, I saw that the Yeshua Yaakov is indeed concerned for this concept. And the Yeshua Yaakov says that, let's say you'll have a situation where a person had a chatzitza of a rubai she'ena makbid. So as our Gemara is saying, that would be a situation of a chatzitza derabbanan. And if it's a chatzitza derabbanan, if there's a suffix, we have a rule, suffix derabbanan lekula. Says the Yeshua Yaakov, no. If a person had a suffix on a situation of a rubai she'ena makbid, because he doesn't want his tvila, his chatzitz, to be a concern, it becomes a suffix daraisa. Other achrayim, I saw, say just the opposite approach. I saw this from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He takes the approach that what's the definition of makbid? What's the definition of ain't a makbid? The definition of makbid or ain't a makbid is what bothers me. But if makbid or ain't a makbid is all dependent on what is because Chazal made it into an issue, that's not the definition of makbid. The definition of makbid is that it bothers me because it bothers me, not because the halacha tells me it should bother me. But there's a very interesting answer that Rabbi Chanan quotes from Chaim Briska. Rav Chaim does a mathematical cheshbon. He says, let's say a person, for example, has a chatzitza that he's not makbid on, covering 75% of his body. So what would make that tefillah? What would make that the tefillah should be a good tefillah? He doesn't have to take off the whole chatzitza. If he'll take off a third of the chatzitza, now we'll have 50% or less than 50%, which is a miut she'ena makbid. And that wouldn't invalidate the tefillah, because it would be a miut she'ena makbid. So therefore, says Rav Chaim, if a person has a chatzitza, which is ain't a makbid, on 75% of his body, and he only objects to the chatzitza because it interferes with his tefillah, it's not the whole chatzitza that's bothering him. It's only the amount that takes it above 50%. And therefore, such a chatzitza does not transform into a chatzitza min haTorah, because what's bothering him? It's only bothering him a third of that chatzitza, which is, in our case, only would be 25% of his body. Because again, as we said, we started with a chatzitza that covers
75% of a body. As soon as he's below 50, it's considered a miyad shein makpid. So it's only a third of that chatzitza, or 25% of what's on his body, that not even 25% of his body, a third of what's on his body, that is what's bothering him, that's a miyad, because a third is a miyad, not a roif.
Another interesting question that I saw that the Paiskim pose is, what will be the halacha of, what will be the halacha if it's mechza mechza, if you have exactly 50-50? Rav Chaim Oizer discusses it in the Shalos HaTshuvos Achiezer, and perhaps the answer to this question is dependent on how we began this shiur. What is the reason by a miut that it's not considered chatzitza? We explain it's a machloikus rishonim. Either because you have the mount that's on the body, and you're not makbid on it, so Rashi says it becomes part of your body. And then we quoted the other rishonim, is because since roiv of your body doesn't have a chatzitza, you're fine. So now we have a very geschmack explanation. If we say that the reason why a chatzitza of a miyut she'ein a makbid is not a chatzitza is because you rely on rubik kekulay. So when you have exactly half of the body covered, you don't have rubik kekulay. If, on the other hand, we say because of its bottle to the body, so it could be by mechza mechza, it's bottle to the body. And that would be another nafkamina in that machloikus rishonim. Davni Nezer asks a question. Al Gemara says that by a miyut hamakbid, Chazal made a gzeir because a rubay hamakbid. Asked Avdi Nezer, this is a very interesting situation. We don't find such a concept anywhere in the Torah. In other words, we speak in our Masechta that the halacha is that a mechitza, that it's roiv, if most of the mechitza is standing, it's considered a valid mechitza. Or shchita, the halacha is you have to shecht most of the simonim. By sukkah, you have to have tzilsim ruba mechamsa. And we don't find that anywhere Chazal should be concerned that maybe if you only have roiv, you really only have the miyut, and therefore it wouldn't be considered a valid sukkah, it wouldn't be considered a valid shchita. Why over here, in a situation where you have indeed the miyut, are we saying, well, maybe it won't be that's the miyut? Where do we find such a concept in halacha? So says Davni Nezer, you can't compare Hilchas Tvila to any other area of halacha. Because he explains, as we said earlier in our shiur, even though we're explaining that chatzitza is a concept in Hilchas Tvila, there's another concept in Hilchas Tvila, which is not contradictory, as we've been explaining, to Hilchas Chatzitza. And that is that you have to have the entire body immersed in the mikveh. So since there's a special halacha by the mikveh, that in order for the tefillah should be considered a valid tefillah, you have to have the entire body in the mikveh. So we would start thinking that if we're going to be lenient on the chatzitza, we're also going to be lenient on this halacha of how you immerse yourself. So therefore, Chazal was stricter in Hilchas Chatzitza and made these gzeiris, even though we don't find such gzeiris in other places in halacha. To take some of these concepts that we've been discussing regarding chatzitza and apply them to halacha l'maisa. So, as we said, midaraisa rubay hamakbid is a chatzitza. Midrabanan, as we learned, a rubish ena makbid or a miyut hamakbid are also considered a chatzitza. What is the halacha, say the paiskim, that if it bothers this person going to the mikveh, but it doesn't bother most people, this wouldn't bother? So the paiskim say that's considered a situation of makbid. What will be if the entire, again, so if she is makbid and the rest of the world is not, it's considered that it's a situation of makbid. On the other hand, let's say she or he who are going to the mikvah are not makbid and everybody else is makbid, we say bat l'daitel eitz kol adam, and the halacha is it's considered again like makbid. What about the person going to the mikvah? Sometimes the makbid and sometimes she's not makbid. And not only is that by her, that is the situation by all people. And we'll give an example in a second. That sometimes this is bothersome to them and sometimes it's not bothersome to them. So the Pais can say that's considered makbid. What is the example? Let's say a woman wearing a ring. So when she goes to the mikvah, the ring doesn't necessarily bother her. But let's say she's working, making a dough, or baking, or cooking, she wants to take off the ring. Is that considered makbid or not makbid? Now she's going to the mikvah. And when she's in the mikvah, the ring doesn't bother her. And it's certainly a miut she'ena makbid, because it's only a small part of the body. What would be the halacha? So says the Piskei Tshuva in Sif Katan Aleph, in Simen Kuf Tzadiches in Yerodeya, and so too does the says Daruch HaShulchan, that is considered a situation of makbid. Another important halacha is, what about if there's moisture or dirt around the eye? How does the halacha look at that? So the halacha is, if it's outside the eye, even though it's still moist, it's considered a chatzitza. But if it's in the eye, then it makes a difference if it's moist or dry. If it's moist, it's not a chatzitza. If it's dry, it is considered a chatzitza. If a woman is wearing a bandage, the halacha is that it's a chatzitza, it's considered a chatzitza. And even explain the achroinim, if it's easily removed, even if she's not makbid, she should remove it before she goes to the mikvah. If, however, there's a concern of infection, and she keeps it on all the time, so there the paiskim are more lenient, and it's not considered necessarily a chatzitza. I saw a very interesting tshuva from Rav Avadya Yosef, and Shailos HaTshuvos Yabia Omer, Chelek Aleph, Simen Yutes. He quotes the Rambam. The Rambam is in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Mikvos, Halacha Zayin. He says, Kol HaToivu, Tzorach Shiyitvu Kol Gufik Shu'orim. When somebody goes to the mikvah, they have to be undressed, and they have to immerse Mebas Achas, as we discussed in our first of the Shurim, that he has to go to the mikvah totally at one time. Says the Rambam, the Kol HaNitbon Shenitvu Bebeyim, if somebody went to the mikvah where they were wearing clothing, also lam tefillah, the tefillah is considered a valid tefillah. Menei shamayim born behem, and they not choytitzim. Became neither shetavu bebegdeah, mitaris lebaleh. And this wording is actually brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, Yerideya, Simen Kuf Tzadiches, Sif Menvav. But it's clear that the Rambam is only allowing it, the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch, only allow this b'di'evet. The Shach quotes the opinion of the Ramban that differentiates between clothing with loose fitting versus clothing which are tighter. And he says that only on tighter clothing is where the Ramban is machmer l'chatchila. On looser fitting clothing, the Ramban would be makel even Lechat Chila. Says Rav Avadya Yosef in this tshuva, that let's say a woman has to go to the mikveh in a place which is public. She's a couple is traveling to a city where there is no mikveh, and there is no mikveh available, and she has to go to the beach to go to the mikveh, and obviously she doesn't want to go there without any clothing. Says Rav Yosef, and he quotes Achronim, that in such a situation where they're going to the mikveh in loose-fitting clothing, and the reason they're wearing these loose-fitting clothing is because of tznius. And there, he says, even the Rambam would agree that you could go to the mikveh like that, lechatchila. Another question that the Paiskim discuss is women who wear nail polish on their nails. What is the halacha regarding going to the mikveh under such situation? So the Rishonim actually give two reasons why one could be makel. One reason is because, as we discussed in previous shurim, whenever you have a chetzitza she'ein ben mamoshes, that doesn't have any real substance to it, it's not considered a chetzitza. And therefore, they suggest that nail polish, once it's applied to the finger, doesn't really have any significant substance. And since it doesn't have any significant substance, it's not considered a chatzitza. Another reason, and the Rishonim are makel, is because it's lanoi. That polish is applied for beautification. And since it's applied for beautification, that is not considered a chatzitza. There's a machloikis in the Achronim. Do you have to have a combination of these two explanations? That has to be aimed by mamish and lanoi in order to be lenient? Or is one reason alone enough? And therefore, certain lechatchila, all the Paiskim say that a person going to the mikveh should be careful to remove the nail polish. But if somebody went to the mikveh and did not remove the nail polish, it seems to me that there may be a difference in halacha if the nail polish is applied in a way that the person is satisfied. So there we have all of the hatayrim. It's lanoi, it's for beautification purposes, and it ain't by mamish. It doesn't have any real substance to it. But if it's on the finger in a way that's not lanoi, that's not that nice, it's part of the polish has already come off, there certainly we don't have ability to be so makel, because even though we have the heter of aim by mamish, but we don't have the heter lanoi. And as I just said, many achronim suggest that you could only be lenient when you have a combination of both haterim, and there we would have a real question of somebody going to the mikveh that way.